Welcome to the Classy Ring Guitar Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
So, the brand split has been announced. Can we just talk about that again this week?
Yeah, pretty... Well, I mean, that's all essentially... You know, it was at the forefront of Raw in a very weird opening segment.
Yeah. So, Raw was really off.
Yes, and I feel like, because we actually were able to watch it together live, and I feel like you hit it, like, right, like, you said it, like, right when it was happening. It just, it felt like Raw just wasn't exactly written this week.
Yeah.
And everyone was just kind of winging it.
And, like, it felt like they were so focused on this, you know, brand split announcement, and that they kind of like, oh, we still have Raws to take care of that... you know, exist prior to July.
Sure.
So, here we go.
And it was like, oh, hey, we're going to come out and talk about this. And I forget who came out to... That was New Day. It was New Day. They came out to talk to Shane and Stephanie. And it kind of called them out. Like, you guys haven't thought about this, have you? And it was kind of, like, indicative of the entire company. He's like, hey, no, we haven't really thought about any of this. But we wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, well...
And that was just kind of the... Like, that was the base point, you know?
There wasn't an end to that segment.
No.
Because that's the thing is, so they came out, and they addressed the fact that... it felt like the whole point of them coming out was to address the fact that tag teams could potentially be split up.
Sure.
Which is a thing to address here, because that's, you know, the wonders and the twists and the mysteries of the draft are back. And
right.
And one of those is, we could be splitting up tag teams. And so the fact that I think, you know, it's been a while since we've had a draft, a lot of your audience probably hasn't seen a draft now.
Sure.
So,
and
yeah.
Remember, Joel, it's not a brand split. It's a brand extension.
Yes, whatever is brand split.
I know.
But, like, yeah, so have somebody come out and be like, could this happen? It could. Yeah, that's fine.
Right.
And New Day's the good one to do that because they are... far and away your most popular tag team. So, you know, having them being the ones that are like, could this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because they're going to play that off great. But we have this issue of like, Shane and Stephanie are on the same page, working together really well.
Right.
But we love one of them and hate the other one still.
Sure, like deep down, yeah.
But like, there's not really... there's no character motivation for why we hate Stephanie anymore, since she's pretty much getting along and doing everything exciting
right.
that Shane's doing.
Right. They're both, like, acting in what they think is in the best interest of making a better show.
Right. I'm really, really stressed out that we're going to have both of them wanting to GM Raw, have some sort of feud, and the loser has to go GM SmackDown.
Right.
Which is just going to put SmackDown as less important.
It's going to put that in the second tier.
From the freaking get-go.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, then it ends with a dance competition.
That was kind of like that weird thing where you're just like, you're running out of things to say, so you just kind of... It's the Ashley Simpson argument at
yeah.
SNL.
Yeah.
Just like, well, you guys found out I was singing, so I'm just going to do a weird little hoedown shuffle. Like, that's kind of what it was until, like, finally the Vaudevillains, and actually perfect, you know, if you think about it, is the big giant, you know, wooden hook to kind of pull them off stage.
Yeah.
Which is a very vaudeville thing
like,
to happen, so it was perfect that the Vaudevillains are the ones doing it.
But, like, imagine looking at that script to be like, okay, we're going to... Shane's gonna dance, Stephanie's gonna get ready to dance after saying she won't dance, and then we'll cut to black.
Yeah.
Like
then we're gonna have the Vaudevillains come in and just end it.
Yeah.
And by the time they get to the ring, Shane and Stephanie are gone.
Vanished into the atmosphere. So, yeah, that was weird. The fact that, yeah, we had not one, but two segments, that was a guy walking up the ramp and down the ramp. And up the ramp, and
down
the ramp.
Yeah. Yeah. The first one was, or at least I believe it was the first one, was Roman and Seth, where Seth kept acting like he was going to come in and attack, but doesn't, and walks away, and does that at least three times.
Yeah.
I lost count. Like, I stopped caring because it's just... it's a shame because, you know, so enthralled, you know, and so excited to see Seth back. And then with 2 weeks, you put him in a crappy segment with Roman.
Yeah.
And the segment, and I don't know who to blame here, you know. I feel like it's probably Vince and the writers at this point, because, like, I can't really blame Roman for this, because he really just stood there.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how much, you know, input they have in all this stuff, and I don't pretend to know that, but
I can only imagine what it would have been like to have to watch that live. I mean, like, in person. Like, we did watch it live, but watching it, like, paying money to go to a building and
knowing what ringside ticket prices are, I would have been pissed.
Yeah.
There's so many other ways that I could talk about this segment, but we can't because, you know, explicit tags.
And the other one was... So John Cena came back.
Yep.
John Cena did his Memorial Day.
Steered clear away for the United States Championship.
Yes. Surprise.
Surprise, surprise, but now Titus has filled that role.
Yes. So AJ Styles came out. And honestly, this was a cool moment.
Oh, sure.
AJ Styles.
The crowd taking over.
Yeah. AJ Styles, John Cena facing each other. I came back, really got into wrestling right before TNA tried to do the Monday Night Wars again.
Right, when they brought Hulk Hogan.
Right, and so it was like right before it got real apparent that they were nowhere close to WWE.
Sure.
So like back when you still could kind of be like, oh, but they got this thing. And when they did have good stuff, there were several years there where TNA was a strong alternative. It was a strong second best option. And so, for somebody who really wanted to get back to that, you know, Monday Night Wars feeling, that two companies facing off, he really wanted to get back to that, you could kind of squint your eyes and tilt your head, and there was a brief moment where TNA could have, like, you know...
They could have made a play.
Yeah, you could have seen how it could be, like, this company versus that company.
Sure.
And that was AJ Styles.
Sure.
And AJ Styles was their Cena. And so, like, seeing AJ Styles facing John Cena in the ring, that was a cool moment.
It was kind of surreal.
The crowd made it fantastic. Good job, sure. Crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he turned. Because Cena can't fight faces.
Of course not.
It did genuinely, it came out of nowhere. I have been conditioned that when two faces are in the ring and two heels interrupt, somebody has to come out and make a tag team match. I was waiting for Shane or Steph to come out and make this a tag match.
Or the ghost of Teddy Long.
Yes. So that did catch me off guard, because I was like, this is the setup. This is the standard setup. Here we go.
Absolutely.
So caught me off guard. Good job. I mean, I'm not like... crying in my pillow at night that AJ's been turned heel. I mean, he's still going to do really well at this.
Yeah, and he makes a good heel, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, AJ fighting Cena is going to be cool.
Sure. And I mean, you know, we know what the outcome probably is going to be. And, you know, we could sit here and complain about that, but we would...
But we all saw WrestleMania 31.
Sure. And we all have seen, like... Cena feud after Cena feud, and we know how it's going to end, but just for now, let's just enjoy it while we can, mm-hmm. You know. Surely it can't be any more disappointing than the ultimate end of Cena versus Kevin Owens from last year.
Yeah.
Which was like a really good feud, but the wrong guy wanted the end.
Soured.
Yeah, the wrong guy wanted the end. But with AJ going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, wasn't quite as bad as Reigns and Rollins.
It would have been fine if it was the only one of those.
Right. The fact that we had just seen it happen, like it was lumped in, pretty much. If I'm remembering correctly, it was lumped in within the same hour of Raw.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's just, Like, I don't know what more to say about it other than stop it.
It felt half-written. It felt unfinished. It felt like they had time that they needed to fill.
Yeah.
And so...
It felt like, you know, all those weeks the writer's like, hey, we're like 20 minutes short, so Triple H and Steph start off Raw and do your thing. You know, and every Raw started with an Authority 20-minute promo. Like, it felt that kind of level of laziness.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it continues to be irksome because you're like, you know, here's the list of talented wrestlers that weren't on the show this week.
Sure.
But that's all going to be fixed because brand split, right?
Right, yeah. No. I don't know.
So, I do want to mention, unless you have anything else really to really delve into the...
No, I don't.
I do want to mention that apparently it's been revealed, quote-unquote, that USA is not paying for any of the additional costs for the book that the brand split will create. So it will be more expensive to show SmackDown Live every week.
Okay.
And that is all going to be WWE costs. Not
so that's
USA
WWE
costs.
Footing that bill.
Yes.
All right.
Which, to me, is the very first sign that USA is not as confident in wrestling and WWE specifically as a, you know, pillar of their channel that they once were.
I mean, maybe they just aren't. It's not like they're kicking them off the air.
They're not kicking them off the air.
They're still keeping them on their channel, you know?
I feel like Raw, for all the, we've talked about the ratings decline, we've bemoaned, we've pointed this out as how can you not see this, why are you not changing your product, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Raw is still routinely the most watched thing on USA, though.
Sure.
So even though it is nowhere near, you know, that it's hating. It's not even where it was, you know, 2 years ago.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It is still in the top brackets of USA viewership. So as long as that continues to happen, USA is going to be thrilled to have them.
Sure.
And so I can see why, on a business level, you would want to get SmackDown there. So you're like, wait, this happens on this week. And, you know, now we can have these level of ratings 2 days a week. And that just flat out has not happened. SmackDown had, you know, it had its initial, you know, little ratings spike at the beginning. But looking at SmackDown's ratings over the past several weeks, they are obviously way, way lower than Raw's. They're lower than they had been on Sci-Fi before leaving. And it's just, I'm wondering if there is a little bit of, this is not what we paid for when we brought in a whole additional night of wrestling.
Sure.
So the fact that it is moving to Tuesdays, the fact that it's moving live, I do feel is an attempt to course correct that.
Sure. And I there's that or, I mean, I the way I read that was maybe this was something that WWE's been wanting to do for a while. But it, USA has been the one that, you know, they really wanted it on Thursdays, you know, for whatever reason. And this was kind of the compromise for to where USA was finally like, all right, we'll move you to Tuesdays live if WWE picked up the tab, essentially.
I am curious as to, is there any reason that SmackDown couldn't be taped live on Thursdays?
Other than that's usually, like, their day off.
I know that's the day off.
Yeah.
But,
a travel day, at least.
I mean, well, it's you know, that they can't wrestle on Thursdays because you're supposed to be at home watching SmackDown.
Actually, I believe there might actually be house shows on Thursdays.
Are there house shows on Thursdays?
I'm thinking of, like, social media posts of, like, you know, hey, come see blah, blah, blah in this small town for a house show. While also trying to pretend like these wrestlers are at SmackDown.
Yeah.
That's currently airing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Either that or I'm just confusing that with when SmackDown was still on Fridays.
Yeah.
Which you could, you know, very well. But either way, it it would kind of mess with the schedules.
I understand it would mess with the schedule somehow. Mm. I am curious. Not that I don't believe it would be too big of a deal change, but I'm curious as to what in the, you know, changing it and taping their Thursday show rather than taping their Tuesday show to air on Thursday, how that would mess them up. I'm just kind of curious about that. So, but it is interesting. I do feel like this is whatever the, you know, pure genuine reason behind it. I feel like it is at its heart an attempt to boost SmackDown.
Sure, and you know, Tuesday is not a bad. I mean, sure, it's two nights in a row of professional wrestling. Which probably was
three on pay-per-view weeks.
Sure. And but I mean, from USA standpoint, that's probably a negative to have two straight nights of that every week from here until whenever they decide to end this.
Right.
But Tuesday, you know, if they're doing it live and they're putting it, you know, and putting a bigger effort into it, they don't have as much big competition. Like, there's going to be, like, you know, network television competition, but as far as like you want to contend with Monday Night Football,
right?
Both sporting events take place on Mondays, especially like major ones, like the college football national championship always seems to come on a Monday.
Well, Monday's a football night. Thursday's also a football night.
Thursday's also a football night whenever the NFL season starts, and a lot of college games get played on Thursday nights.
Yeah.
So aside from like the occasional like NBA final or hockey final or something like that, you're not really going to have a whole lot of competition on Tuesday nights from, like, a massive sports, you know, broadcast, which is normally WWE's biggest competition in situations like that.
Well, there's a lot of finger-pointing to that. Oh, it's bad this week. You know, they didn't do well this week because of, you know, football happened.
Right.
Now we'll see.
Now, by that aspect, WWE has no other excuse as far as, like, declining ratings other than, you know, their own lack of effort.
Yes.
This is one of those things where they could do – I feel like they could do pretty good business on Tuesday nights if they put the effort into it.
Right.
I mean, you can do gamebusters on any night if you put the right effort into it. But, you know, the table is set a little bit more, I feel like, on Tuesdays – if they're willing to, you know, put forth
the effort. I mean, if they, and it comes down to a lot of things. It comes down to if they split the roster evenly or evenly enough.
Sure.
It comes down to,
if they're going
to
keep Raw 3 hours, Raw's going to have a little bit bigger roster, I feel.
And it should, honestly. Like, it's a 3-hour show versus a 2-hour show. It should have a bigger roster, but it should not have all of the bigger stars on it.
No,
I mean, that's the thing is, Titus O'Neil should not be, you know, your big SmackDown guy.
No.
So.
No. For a variety of reasons.
But, I mean, that's the thing, is that you do need certain names there. If Raw, you know, creative always gets to trump SmackDown on every crossover match, that's going to, you know, that will hurt.
Right.
But we'll see. I do like that it's been mentioned on the show.
Yeah, they're not trying to pretend it's not looming. Yeah.
Right.
Because I was wondering how they're going to weave that in the story.
Well, it also, it means that, because this should be a major talking point on Raw for the next several weeks.
Sure.
It shouldn't be like, you know, nothing, business usual. Oh, there's a draft.
Sure.
No, there should be, you know, a lot of like, how is the draft going to work?
Right.
You can do a lot of build up to this. You should do a lot of build up to this.
So now that they've gone ahead and addressed it, the overarching story for the next, you know, month or so can be like, what are we going to do with the draft? And they kind of start to set the stage of like, all right, well, let's start establishing some things.
Right.
You know, And things of that nature. It feels very early to bring it up though, because how much stuff can you really get out of this the next month?
I mean, there's... You have to handle it delicately, because...
Which, so far, I don't feel like they have.
Oh, no, they absolutely haven't. Well, the fact that, oh, tag teams could be split up in the draft is something that should be addressed.
Sure.
This whole, like, anybody can be drafted, nobody is safe. Sure. You know, maybe you have Vince come on and, like, Stephanie and Shane, you guys might get drafted too.
Sure.
Or you have Triple H come on and be like, we're making the authority. And Shane come in and be like, you don't know where you're going, Triple H, because anybody can be affected right. by your draft. Like, you can have something
like
that happen.
I do feel like it would be odd if Triple H was completely absent from this whole process and then over the next month.
You do need to be very careful with this idea of, like, what people want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually, if you have this, you know, multi-episode storyline on Raw, it's like filling in the Money in the Bank slots or filling in the Rumble slots. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, I want the 30 slot. I want the 30 slot. Well, you two fight over it, and the winner gets
sure.
it. So, but you can't really do this for the draft because it'll be like, I want Raw. Mm-hmm. Fight over it. Loser goes to SmackDown because SmackDown sucks, right? And so you don't want that.
Right.
So,
I mean, because, I mean, in years past, they would handle the draft as, you know, here's a tag team match. Whoever wins gets the next draft pick. That's right. More of a positive way of going about it, rather than, like, if you lose, you get to go to SmackDown or something along those lines.
Right.
You know, it needs to be something a little bit more ambiguous, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, the winner will get the next draft pick.
Yeah.
They get to pick next, you know.
And you can have some of that, where, like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, Kevin Owens has been drafted to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens makes a deal with the SmackDown guy. If he, you know, does something, he gets to, you know, make the next pick. And sure. Kevin Owens picks Sami Zayn because he wants to beat him up every week or something like that.
Right.
This also is going to raise the question about your part-timers.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Brock Lesnar going? How does he work in the brand split?
That's a thought I had. Make Brock the part-time, you know, quote-unquote boss of Raw.
Uh-huh.
And then John Cena, since he's getting up there and he's probably going to be getting closer and closer to part-time, make him be the part-time guy of SmackDown. Not necessarily the with the guys that the show is, like, centered around, because clearly Roman's going to get one, and then Seth and or Dean is going to get the other.
Right.
Or something along those lines.
Well, you're in some way getting a 2-1 split. Sure. Of the Shield.
I know how it's going to happen. John Cena's going to get one, Rome's going to get the other. Like, that's mm-hmm. just how it's going to work. But ideally, I would say, because you're going to have both of them, both Brock and John Cena somewhere, make John Cena the part-time guy in SmackDown and Brock the part-time guy in Raw, or vice versa.
Well, it feels like it'll be Brock on Raw and then Undertaker on SmackDown.
Well, I mean, that was how Undertaker was on SmackDown back when they did have the brand split, though. You know, he was kind of, like, especially, you know, the last few years of the brand split, he was very part-time.
Right. And I understand that. Mm-hmm.
I don't think Undertaker's around enough, is going to be around enough to establish that.
Well, that's the thing, is Undertaker, is he technically on the roster? Is he going to be part of the split?
Honestly, I don't think they're... As far as, like, the draft goes, I don't even think they're going to bring that up. And I don't really think that they should. Like, it doesn't really matter until WrestleMania season.
Yeah, he should not come back for the draft night only to disappear. If he's got a SummerSlam feud, you know, all right, let's see what happens there. I could bring him back for the brand split if it leads to a SummerSlam feud.
Sure.
But I... Even when the split happened originally and he was part-timing on SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
he was still there a lot more than Brock Lesnar is here today.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, these are guys, like, is The Rock technically on the roster?
I think they have him as far as, like, the roster.
Like, he's in the active roster on the website.
Yeah.
So is The Rock gonna get drafted?
Again, like, I feel like it's probably not even going to be addressed.
Yeah, but if you... If you want
but your how they first... handle that the web page after mm-hmm. that as far, because you know they're going to have a web page for like Raw Superstars, SmackDown Superstars, and it's like yeah. where does like where they're going to want to keep Rock like on their active
roster. Here's the thing. If you want your first episode of live SmackDown to do gangbusters, you show out and you get The Rock to show up.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have to fight.
Have The Rock show up on The Rock show.
Yeah. He, you know, have him say, lay the SmackDown. And there you go. He doesn't have to have a feud. He doesn't have to have a match. He just comes in, plays catchphrase bingo, pieces out back to Furious 8.
Right.
And it'll work. It'll totally work. And I won't really have a problem. Like, I might grumble and complain, but honestly, I won't
have a problem with that. But that would be a great way to get eyes back on SmackDown. At least for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you want to pull out the ideal card is just, you know, shovel out a little bit extra money and be like, hey, here's our first Raw general manager, or our first SmackDown general manager for the next 3-4 weeks, and then something happened and blah, 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 and have it be Rock.
You know yeah, I mean? Yeah, that, yeah, because it's the Rock show, SmackDown sure. Hotel. No, that would be a fantastic thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you get him for that.
If you can, and I highly doubt you could, but, you know, when you're throwing everything at the wall, you throw everything at the wall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, I guess that's really it.
Yeah, so, speaking of brand split, brand extensions, going to the third biggest brand of the WWE.
Some would even say it's the second.
I was like, third in the ratings, first in our hearts.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
And only third in the ratings because it's, you know, just not on real TV.
Yeah. The NXT TakeOver The End is coming up this week.
Yes.
So, I, you know, let's just go through the card because we've got that kind of time this week. First of all, are you putting any thought or credence to the name of this TakeOver special, The End?
Probably not.
Yeah, because I feel like it's more just referencing of the end of the
Finn Balor. I've seen all of the NXT episodes prior to it at this sure. point. So I feel like there was a little bit of like, oh, this is happening at the same time as the brand split?
Right.
But
okay. It's more of a coincidence than anything.
Yeah, but even if there was some sort of, like, NXT having a major shift because of this brand split thing,
mm-hmm.
I still feel like that would happen after this TakeOver special over the next couple of weeks.
Oh, sure.
And then this TakeOver special would... I mean, that name is not referencing anything.
No.
Still. So, yeah, it's the end of this feud. It's the final.
No theories, no anything like that.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm the same way. But we'll go into the card. First, we have the debut of, and I'm going to murder this name. Why can't we just call him Lissandra? You know? But Andrade Cien Almas. Hope I'm saying that right. Close to, who cares, versus Ty Dillinger. And I had my hopes up, but I was telling Joel before we were recording, this week on this past episode of NXT, I got my hopes up because, you know, Ty Dillinger actually won a match on NXT TV, and I'm like, all right, Ty's returning, and they're going to start pushing him towards the NXT Championship, or at least, you know, something decent, or something. And then the next day, they announced this match. Yeah.
We got a feud, or we got a debut, and he's going to debut against a heel, so he's going to win.
And that's the thing. Ty Dillinger was not even, like, he was not the heel in that match. He was up against Blake and or Murphy. Like, I don't know. I think it was Murphy, I think.
Yeah.
Who was clearly the heel in that match. The crowd was just eating up everything Dillinger was putting down. And that's not even just, you know, from NXT standpoint, because the NXT Full Sail standpoint, they put over everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like Ty Dillinger a lot, but I do not know if he's going to be able to, like, I don't think this gimmick's going to make it in.
Maybe. But I'm just saying, like...
I would have said the same thing about Enzo, though. Like, six months ago, I'm like, yeah, that's a Full Sail thing. That's not a real thing.
But at the same time, like, the way both the crowd and he were reacting with each other, he clearly was the face in that match.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know I don't know. Adrande might come out and just be an amazing heel like right out of the get-go, but I don't feel like it. For judging from what we've seen,
I don't feel comfortable making that my prediction.
No, nor do I. I mean, not that these count towards our yearly predictions or anything, because they have in the past. But no, Adrande is absolutely going to be winning this match. Because I feel like, I think that I heard on one of the live events, he had a match against Nakamura and, like, cleanly beat Nakamura at a live event.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
So, I mean, maybe that would just make something to kind of mix things up. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But speaking of, we have Nakamura versus Austin Aries. That's going to be an amazing
match. That's going to be match of the night.
Oh, absolutely.
Nakamura's going to take it, though, because Nakamura's going to be awesome forever.
Oh, sure. That's what I want to believe. There was nothing official like made of this, but like the kind of the assumption is whoever wins is going to be, you know, first in line for the championship.
Right.
So we'll see, but it's going to be an amazing match.
That's honestly the one thing that like makes me pause on Nakamura is if they were gonna push Nakamura to a title that fast.
Right.
Not that they shouldn't, because I think...
Right.
You know, I have no problem with them doing that. I just don't know if they will.
Especially if there's the chance they might go ahead and bring him up soon.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of people predicting that he's going to be on the main roster by SummerSlam.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe. I mean, I would love that. But that means his time in NXT is going to be wrapping up pretty soon.
Yeah.
So I don't know if putting him in the championship picture now. A lot of people are also like predicting that there's going to be a Nakamura Samoa Joe feud in the very near future in NXT. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know, you can't throw a rock in NXT without hitting six people who should be getting called up by SummerSlam.
Oh sure, no, absolutely. And again, like I said, there's no like official word or anything, but that's just what a lot of people are predicting, which you see how far that goes 9 times out of 10.
Right.
The NXT Women's Championship, Asuka versus Nia Jax.
What do you think? Do you think this is where they do it?
See, here's the thing. I crap on Nia Jax a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to give her this much. All the big matches I've seen her in, she's done quite well.
Yeah.
Both of those big matches involved Bayley, so take that with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else I've seen her in is painful to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about these big matches that, and again, it could just be all credit to Bayley, which I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it ultimately takes two.
Now, to be fair, I've not heard nearly the backlash on Nia Jax from anybody other than you. I mean, I've heard a little bit of criticism here and there, but like, we could take your complaints about her.
Oh, sure.
Swap out her name for Eva Marie, and it would, you know, just as visceral.
Swap names and take out like Rock's cousin out of every other sentence.
Oh yeah, obviously. Well, like I'm saying, like you're pretty.
I'm pretty hard on her.
You are. I mean, I'm not trying to defend her and poor baby here.
No. And it is not, trust me, it is not a size issue, because I feel like the women's division, both NXT and WWE, needs someone of that size.
Right.
Like, having a monster heel in the women's division is a rare commodity, honestly, and it's something that we never got with Karma.
Yeah. I'm not trying to force you to defend yourself.
No.
I'm just saying, based on your description of it, there's no way they would ever put the title on her.
But then again, I don't
know. I think it's very possible she might be winning the title next week. This is one. I mean, I can see this one go either way.
Again, I feel like this is going to be a very similar match to NXT London between Nia Jax and Bayley, you know, where Bayley's just fighting for her life and she barely scrapes out, you know, and has to make her pass out to win the champion or to win the match.
Right.
I would like to see Asuka with a little bit longer reign, and that's the only reason why I'm leaning towards Asuka is because mm-hmm. it's, you know, she's only had the championship since Dallas, yeah. you know, in April. So, and I feel like Asuka is like the kind of talent that would have a lengthy title reign because she's that kind of character. You know, characters like Sami Zayn and Bayley, it's almost okay if they have shorter reigns because they're underdogs. They're great at that position.
Yeah.
So, but then again, we have the Bayley return story, but that I'm assuming is going to happen, or Bayley's going to go on the main roster, but I feel it's more likely that it's going to be the Bayley return story.
Mm-hmm.
And does that return story carry a little bit more weight if she is also, she's going after A, the woman who took her out, Nia Jax, and B, if it's the champion, and if that right. person's the same, if that's the same person in both aspects, then
you got that story ready to go.
Sure,
looking all pretty.
But at the same time, you also want Bayley to overcome the odds and beat the woman that beat her for the championship.
Right.
You know, so it's either way that you can go with that. Personally, I feel like
what you're saying is the WWE video editing team can't miss on this video package.
No, I feel knowing NXT. The way that we know NXT, I feel like we could be seeing another female main event,
mm-hmm.
which is completely okay with me. And
you don't mean for the end?
No. I'm for the next NXT.
Okay, yeah.
For the next takeover, probably. I'm guessing they're going to do another takeover Brooklyn. If I assume.
I would assume that would be the next thing.
Probably the main event would be a triple threat. Nia Jax, Asuka, okay. and Bayley. That would probably lend one to believe that shenanigans is probably going to go down.
Yeah. Okay.
In this week's.
All right.
Yeah. Because NXT wants to put a lot behind Nia Jax.
Right.
As they should, because like I said, like having a monster heel in the women's division is a very rare commodity, and if they can pull it off, by all means, go for it.
Right. Okay.
I'm just not too convinced about Nia Jax.
I think I'm sitting a little more in the optimistic camp as you are. I'm not 100%, sure. But I have seen improvements since she debuted.
Sure, absolutely. And give me credit for like at least being able to see that she's absolutely. Got talent in the right moments.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But like that's so much of why I you know. I'm willing to forgive a lot more in NXT is because I do see these improvements. And, like, if you know, blah, 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 plug your ears, lock, you know, and block out NXT, Baron Corbin debuted as a fully formed character ready to go.
Sure.
You know, this strong, grumpy-looking heel dude.
Even though he was a face, though. But, yeah, but he grew into it, yeah.
I mean, he debuted.
Oh, you're talking about on the main roster.
On the main roster.
Okay, gotcha.
If you still treat NXT as developmental,
mm-hmm.
when Baron Corbin debuted on Raw, he was ready to go.
Right.
And NXT is a little bit at a peek behind the curtain of watching this. Like he came in this and that process, didn't work, yeah. and we had to adjust this, and like, you know. You can watch matches mm-hmm. from his, you know, first couple of weeks versus matches from right before WrestleMania, right. and you're like. Look at those moves. Look how tight, you know, look how sharper he is on that move. Look at him. He just does better.
Sure. I will say one thing that might help Nia Jax in the long run. I feel like they need to change up her finishing move.
Yeah.
Because right now it's just a leg drop, you know, which I'm not thrilled. I'm not thrilled about anybody's finishing move being the leg drop, especially Hulk Hogan. Like,
right.
I feel like. For her to be billed as a better monster heel, like we're saying, you need a finishing move that focuses on her power and less on her weight.
Yeah. The leg drop, I assume, is intentionally shades of the people's elbow.
Possibly. That doesn't help.
I mean, no, it does not
help in my mind, yeah.
I mean, that's a reason, not an excuse.
Sure.
But that would be my guess.
So yeah, I feel like that would help her, at least appear more dominating to have a a power move. You know, you're not going to really replicate like an F5 or anything like that, but just give her something.
Yeah, something slammy.
Something slam-like. Something lift stuff over my head and slam.
Okay, you know? Gotcha.
And then we got the rematch for the NXT Tag Team Championship, American Alpha versus Revival. I mean, these guys, they had an incredible match at Dallas. And if you can just bottle up a little bit of that magic again, then you're fine.
Oh, this is totally a match where it's like, this could go either way. Mm-hmm. I'll be thrilled.
Sure.
I just, you know.
There is a little bit of an interesting situation with this, like this previous week at NXT had a match against Revival versus Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, where Gargano and Ciampa cleanly beat Revival.
Right.
You know? I don't know why. I'm guessing they're wanting to build up Gargano and Ciampa both as a tag team and eventually as individuals, because I believe they're both going to be in the Cruiserweight series.
Is that official?
Ciampa definitely is. Gargano, actually, I think just now is a full-on part of NXT now.
Okay.
Because for a while, he was kind of doing a little bit of one thing, a little bit of another. And he still is, but I think now he's actually, like, officially NXT.
Right.
So I believe that he's in the Cruiserweight thing.
Okay.
So I don't know if this is just, like, a renewed effort to build those guys back up, because the past two NXT episodes have, you know, featured those two guys quite a bit.
Right.
So I don't know if that's going to lead to shenanigans in this match to have Revival, Ciampa, and Gargano kind of move in that direction. If so, what does that leave for Alphas? I don't know. Again, we could see another triple threat. Hooray. It could be Triple Threat City in Brooklyn.
I mean, yeah.
Ultimately, Alphas are going to retain.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's... I've not been blown away with, like, the character development in either of these guys.
No, yeah.
But the in-ring performance...
is... Yeah, that's the least of their worries.
Yeah, like, that is so impressive, so consistently impressive.
Yeah.
Is the best example of NXT is doing for the tag division what they've already done for the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
Is these two teams, and not only just their in-ring work with anybody, but specifically their in-ring work with each other.
And, you know, you can point to a specific time, like, these two teams really came into their own over the course of the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Right.
You know? So maybe, you know, Cruiserweights are the next thing where they're just going to use this platform and these guys that it's kind of sink or swim kind of thing. And, you know, in the Dusty Rhodes tournament, both Revival and American Alpha, like, really, they swam really well.
Right.
And it kind of led to where they are now.
All right.
So we'll see. I'm guessing I'm just going to have everyone, like, retain, because now we go to the NXT Championship in a cage match against Finn and the champion Samoa Joe. I have Joe retaining based solely on the fact that I'm assuming Finn's going to debut at some point in the near future, but not necessarily, because apparently the club is very cozy with AJ.
Yeah. I don't feel like the club needs four people.
No.
But
then again, I'm okay with Finn just doing his own thing on the main roster. Oh, yeah,
that's fine as well.
You know? Now you don't have to, like, force him as a heel right out the get-go. Especially since he hasn't really worked as a heel in NXT at all.
Yeah. I'm going to go Samoa Joe as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's going to be any interference in this match? Do you think it'll end cleanly?
I feel like it's going to end cleanly. If this is, quote-unquote, the end...
Okay. Let me rephrase that. Not that we'll end cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this will be a clean up-and-down match? Or will there be outside interference?
I don't know. I don't really have that on my radar right now. I don't really see any, like, outside interference happening.
By outside interference, I basically just mean anything happening that the cage is supposed to theoretically prevent. So, like, any low blows or any weapons, I would still say is a clean match, even though, obviously,
sure,
it's not. But, like, for the sake of cage match purposes...
Somebody coming in and trying to cause a distraction or climb into the
cage. Somebody climbing into the cage. Somebody helping them out. Distracting the ref so that they can't get the door open or whatever.
Are they even going to have a door? Because, you know, the Full Sail is kind of, like, compact. And there's not going to be a whole lot of room.
And the
of course, it's going to be a door because they have to get in there. I don't know. But, like, as far as I don't really have anything on my radar as far as suspecting it. Yeah, and that's the best time to do it is when no one really suspects.
There is no Ric Flair situation where it's like, I gotta wait for him to come out.
Sure, yeah. So anything that would happen would be a genuine surprise.
No, it's just that, like... WWE being like, cage match, this is the end to settle this feud. We're even calling the event the end to show how the end of the match this is. Just screams interference.
I just had a thought. Bobby Roode.
You think?
I mean, you know, he and Joe has history with TNA and everything, and if they kind of want have Joe something to do, like, right out of the get-go, like, after Finn... presumably moves on to greener pastures, then that could be what Joe does on NXT TV for the next few weeks to, you know, because they've got to fill time between now and Brooklyn and somehow.
Yeah. All right. That's not the worst thing I've heard.
I mean, that's the only thing I can think of right now, unless whoever wins against Aries and Nakamura, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think.
But they like to pull surprises at the end of NXT, especially NXT's at Full Sail.
Yeah.
So that would be one thing.
So, looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is the first time in a very long time I feel comfortable being like, I don't see how they could top the previous one.
No. It's a very, very difficult.
But the fact that, like...
But we've said that a few times.
Well, that's the thing. Is like,
with NXT.
So they did the first one, and I'm like, holy crap, this is good. It was NXT Arrival. And then the second was NXT TakeOver.
Right.
And then it was NXT TakeOver.
And for the longest time, the TakeOvers just seemed to just outdo the previous one.
And we would sit here, like, it has been like, that's the best they're going to be. They can't top that. And
sure.
And then we look like jerks.
We said that about Brooklyn, and we said that about weeks, Respect. Yeah. We said that about Dallas.
That's the thing. It's like, it started being this thing where I was like, I'm not going to say that anymore. This is the first time where Dallas was
so good. No, I'm
so
going to say that so they actually, they better it.
Yeah, so, but we'll see.
Yeah, but I'm thoroughly excited.
That's why I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I that's what's making me happy this week, knowing that that's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to, like...
That's okay.
Go you into
that
segment.
I was getting ready to be like, what's making you happy? And then you, like, already did that's what's making you happy. So I was like, great.
Okay.
So now what's... Oh, I can't say that anymore because he already...
Well, that's the wrestling related. I do have been non-wrestling related, and it's something that just happened before we recorded this podcast, and that is friendship, you guys. Guys, let me tell you what friendship is. Friendship is... when you come to tell your friends something horribly embarrassing, not embarrassing, but just a boneheaded thing that you've done or something you forgot to do, and your friends step in to help right that wrong. And that's about as close to the subject that I'm going to get.
There for
so,
you, buddy.
So, thanks, Joel.
There for you, buddy.
So, what's making you happy?
What's making me happy? So you found this, but I read it.
Yeah.
Weirdly fascinating.
It is. I wasn't able to finish it because I was at work, but
so
I read the first half of it.
Somebody, has basically taken bits and pieces from Vince McMahon interviews over the years and tried to piece what would basically be an oral history of Vince McMahon as told by Vince McMahon.
Right. He basically created a narrative, like, threading through every Vince McMahon interview that he's given.
Yes. And so, reading this, and sometimes it's a whole paragraph or a story, sometimes it's just a sentence, But reading this, you can hear it in Vince McMahon's voice.
Yeah.
It is like somebody turned on a tape recorder and just made Vince talk for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting, really fascinating. And honestly, as much as I know about Vince, and like that's the thing, is like there was no new shocking information in there.
No.
A lot of the stuff I pretty much knew already.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing it put in this order, and back to back like this, especially like Vince's really early life, growing up, before he met his dad, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Really kind of put that into balance, put that in a way that you could like see like, oh,
that kind of, you
this,
see,
this is who this guy was to right. Vince. This is where Vince,
and you see kind of like his motivation still to this day.
Yeah. You see a lot of his formative stuff, in there. And again, like, most of these interviews I've read.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I'm reading these chunks, and I know exactly what it's going to say, because I've read these exact quotes before.
Right.
But seeing them all side by side like this, building the thing, is it's really fascinating mm-hmm. article. If you look it up, it's Vince McMahon as told by Vince McMahon.
And it's one of those, Vince really does see himself always as the other underdog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is John Cena. Like, yeah. They find a way to have him, like, you know, have odds to overcome. And that's kind of Vince's thing. Like, he just it's like he's always working from under.
Right.
You know?
So, just really cool, really fascinating thing to read.
Yeah.
So that's what's making me happy this week.
Cool, cool. We should include a link.
Yeah, yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes.
The name of the website is completely escaping me right now.
So, yeah, but we'll definitely put a link to that in the show notes.
Right on.
Anything else?
That's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Sierra Tire, who we live tweet all Mondays, and appropriate Sundays.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Easy way to follow Chris. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the iTunes metrics. Just to let you guys know, we do this live every week. This is not a recorded thing, so it's a little different each time.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We are also on Facebook.
Yes,
easy way to follow the podcast, easy to follow Chris, easy way to follow myself, and kind of see what other things we might be working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy. And huzzah.
Huzzah.